All right. Welcome to the February 6th, 2007 meeting of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Trustees meeting. The board met in closed session and we discussed pending litigation. We discussed one case, Government Code 54956.9, and we discussed the status of negotiations with the San Luis Coastal Unified Teachers Association. Do we have a consensus on the order of business from the board members?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to approval of minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes? Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Peter and seconded by Mr. Buckman. Do we have discussion on that? Mrs. Dickens?
What's that? If that's okay.
Works for me.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Any other comments, discussion? Okay. You guys accept that is the amendment? Okay. All in favor of the amended motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 6-0.
Mrs. Dickinson might submit to Mrs. Holmes the exact wording of that because I can't.
Okay. Yeah, and we would ask Mrs. Holmes, Mrs. Dickinson will give you that language that the board. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. The board did not receive any written correspondence. However, the board did receive I'm assuming most all the board members got this an email from Don Rapucci, who's the industrial technology teacher at Morrill Bay High School, and I'd like to read this because I think it's just really a neat thing that happened. He addressed this to me, but I believe he addressed it to other board members as well. This last Saturday, while everyone was preparing for the Super Bowl, seven students got up at 4 a.m. and took a bus to Salinas to compete in the Skills USA competitions. The night before, Morrill Bay High School had six students go to Paso for similar competitions. At the end, Morrill Bay High ended up with five golds and three silvers. The kids are excited to go to state levels in April. And then Mr. Rapucci wants to thank the board for the hard work that the board does. And we just want to congratulate the members of the Morrill Bay High School team that went on to Skills USA. I know we had some very successful students participate in that last year. So good luck to them, and thank you very much, Don, for writing to us. I don't believe the board received any other correspondence. So we can move on to public comment. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address the board at this time? Okay, seeing none, then let's go on to reports by school staff and student representatives to the board. Brianna, would you like to start? Thanks.
Okay, in February, we are continuing with our sports, soccer, basketball, water polo, and wrestling. We're also doing California High School exit exam tutorials. We have eight seniors who are retaking the language arts portion and 10 seniors who are retaking the math and preparing for that so they can school coming up, which is nice. And then the choir is going to Laguna Middle School Friday the 16th. And then we also have the band and the choir are doing like the Save Music in the Schools the 25th, which is a Sunday, and it's 3 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center. So those are always really nice shows. We also are starting to do these new 10th grade college planning meetings where they meet, the 10th graders meet individually with their counselors and the parents. And my sister personally went to one recently, and they're actually helping a lot. We're also finishing up scholarships and applications for colleges. Most of the deadlines are passed, and working on scholarships to get money for college. And also, we're doing our, starting the week of the 19th, we're doing the new freshman parent orientations at Laguna Middle School. So the eighth graders are already getting introduced to a lot of the high school stuff. And that's pretty much all. Thank you.
Thank you. Joe.
Thanks. I'd like to start by saying that we just transitioned from first to second semester, and as far as the students and the administration are concerned, it was a pretty smooth transition. I was also going to mention the Skills USA, but you kind of stole the thunder from me on that one. But I will say that The students who were awarded gold automatically go to state competition, so that's a great accomplishment for them. And the students who achieve silver are in they're put into a lotto to get chosen for state competition, so they're all hopeful that they'll make it. Starting with our sports program, we're wrapping up spring sports and beginning our winter sport. Wrapping up our winter sports and beginning our spring sports. The season officially begins on the 12th, and as far as our winter sports are concerned, all of our teams except boys and girls soccer are going to CIF playoffs. And it looks like our wrestling will be league champions this year, which will be the second year running for them, so that's a great accomplishment. They're real fired up about that. On the 6th and the 7th, which is today and tomorrow, we're doing the California High School Exit Exam for seniors. And there are four seniors who are taking that at the high school, and we're pulling for them to pass it so they can graduate. On the 8th, which is Thursday, in the morning, we're having our annual career day, which is where 40 professionals from the community come to our gym, and they present their professions, and our school goes for the student body to get an idea of what that is, and that'll be on Friday. And then the 13th is our principal's forum. So if you know any disgruntled parents, he'll be in the science lecture demo room at 7 p.m. On the 16th, we're having our second semester drill day. And on that day, we will be drilling for an intruder on campus, an earthquake, and a fire. And additionally, we will be evacuating to our sports fields as part of the drill. On the 20th and the 21st, it is the County Band Festival at Cuesta, and our band is going to be going to that and participating. On the 22nd is our Spring Sports Expectation Night, where the students are informed of their expectations, and our athletic director pumps them up for the upcoming season. On the 22nd, also, we will be having our Poetry Out Loud competition, which is a nationwide competition that we're participating in this year. And it'll be in the Science Lecture Demo Room from 9 to 11 on the morning of the 22nd. And we'd like you all to come because we'll be picking the one person who goes from our school to the statewide or the area and then statewide competition. That's the 22nd. 9 to 11 in the Lecture Demo Hall at Morro Bay High. On the 24th is the Cuesta Jazz Festival, and our jazz band will be participating in that. Let's see. We're also participating in the Save Our Music concert, which will be Sunday the 25th. And she already spoke on that, but I'd also like to say that both band and choirs from Morro Bay High School and SLO High School will be performing, and it'll be kind of an ensemble as far as a lot of different types of music. Nothing too long, just a little sample of everything. And it's to benefit the music program. And Mr. Bellier, our band teacher, would like me to mention that we need this concert because the district won't allocate enough money for travel. But tickets are $12 each and are available through the music department at either high school. We'd like to invite you to come. He asked me to really stress that you are all invited to come and support our music program. Also, we're working as a school on televising our bulletin because we feel that the announcements every day are kind of an inefficient way of getting information to students as far as...
Because I got that it was the 15th, but I don't know.
You're putting me on the spot here.
I'm sorry, Joe. I just...
I'm not an FFA, so I can't speak about the topic. I spoke this morning with the administration, and they didn't mention it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I bought tickets for it, and the tickets are $8 a piece.
So you're protecting your own interests here.
Mr. Zotovich, do you know so February 15th, and I believe that anybody can buy FFA, they can buy barbecue tickets if they see an FFA member from Morro Bay High School. And sorry to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay.
Thank you. And I would just like to point out, too, with the Skills USA, that Skills USA does directly relate to career and technical education, and that it's something that I think we should be, again, really proud of our students for and shows the value of career and technical education. So thank you.
I was just going to tell Joe, this is just an example. Our president is very prepared. So when you go over the schedule, you've got to be careful. Check with him before the meeting. Okay.
Do we have members of school staff who would like to make presentations to us this evening? And I was handed a note from Mr. Spadafor that we did receive, I'm sorry, from Mr. Peter, that we did receive correspondence from the SLCTA regarding WestEd. And I apologize, I haven't gone to my post office box yet, so that's probably why I didn't get it. Okay, is there any member from the school staff that would like to make a presentation or a report to the board now? Okay, seeing none. Let's move on then to the status of the state budget. Mr. Miller.
Actually, nothing new to report at this time. Everything is still, the deadline for new bills is coming up in about 30 days, and so bills are starting to be formulated, but nothing's in the pipeline yet of any significance. And certainly the battle lines are being drawn over the governor's budget proposals, and we'll see how those progress. So as things become a little more clearer, then I'll give reports. But right now, not a whole lot has become defined.
And there was something else that I needed to add, and I did receive a phone call from Rick Ernstrom, the swimming coach at San Luis Obispo High School on Saturday. And he just wanted to remind everybody that swimming season is starting at San Luis Obispo High School and that he expects he's going to have between 140 and 150 potential swimmers, and that's pretty exciting. He also mentioned to me that they're looking for a diving coach.
Public hearing before entering into negotiations with any of our bargaining units. We've received a sunshine letter from the San Luis Coastal Teachers Association, and we also have a public hearing we need to do for the board sunshine proposal, so we are ready to enter into negotiations with them, and we need an opportunity for the public to address that if they would like to.
Then I'll open this public hearing for the negotiations reopener proposals from the San Luis Coastal Teachers Association. Is there anyone that would like to speak to that topic? Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing. And I would like to just announce that I believe it's the 80th anniversary of the Teachers Association, and we wish them well and congratulate them on that. Let's move to item number 4, the Board of Education's negotiation proposals for San Luis Coastal Teachers Association. This is also a public hearing. Mr. Robinette, I don't know if you have anything to add to that. Is there anyone that would like, I would open this public hearing. Is there anyone that would like to address the board on this matter? Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing. Move on to item number 5. And this is elementary school boundary adjustments in San Luis Obispo City. Mr. Parker.
Forgive me for stepping around behind you here. Per the board's authorization, we conducted a series of meetings with members of the public, school staff, and I wanted to compliment the committee on the job they did. They really got right in and studied the problem, which was, as you know, it's multifaceted, grasped the concepts, debated a number of possible alternatives, and arrived at consensus at the recommendation that they would make to the superintendent, who's then forwarded that recommendation to the board. And in a nutshell, because I know the board's been exposed to this on multiple occasions, the challenge was to try and relieve the overcrowding predicted for Hawthorne, since most of the new developments in the city of San Luis Obispo, as well as infill, are located in the Hawthorne attendance area. And the first charge was to try and identify those, quote, island developments that had no existing residents and assign them to be adjusted per the committee's recommendations. And just very briefly, they recommended assigning the Margarita Island development to C.L. Smith, as well as grandfathering this little finger that is currently in Hawthorne to C.L. Smith. They recommended assigning the future Orchid development, which is currently in Sinsheimer, to Los Ranchos, and then they recommended the northeastern portion of San Luis Obispo be grandfathered from Hawthorne into Bishop's Peak. The committee wrestled with a number of different alternatives. We studied the numbers, and this was their final recommendation. And just to talk a little bit about the committee process and the involved parents and the involved principals, we have a parent from Los Ranchos, Susan Hack, who just would like to share a little bit of the process.
Hello, my name is Susan Hack, and I'm the parent of a fourth grade student at Los Ranchos and a seventh grader at Laguna Middle School. I was a member of the Boundary Study Group and was asked to speak to you about our final recommendation and some of the factors we considered in reaching it. The group was made up of the principals, staff, and parents of the five neighborhood elementary schools in the district. We met on three consecutive Thursdays for a total of 6 hours. Our final recommendation was unanimously approved by the group. The group felt strongly that the changes being made in existing neighborhoods be grandfathered to cause the least possible disruption to the families and neighborhoods involved. The boundary change that is currently being grandfathered between Sinsheimer and Los Ranchos schools is apparently transferring students more slowly than was initially anticipated and was mentioned as an example of the time that may be required to fully realize the enrollment shifts that are being recommended. One other issue that the group addressed was the district's open enrollment policy. Several members of the group, myself included, felt that open enrollment is the wild card that could possibly make our recommendations moot. While the group felt that open enrollment is in general a good tool for both families who wish to have their children on other campuses and principals who need to accommodate caps on class sizes, particularly incoming kindergarten classes, concerns were raised about campuses that are full or will become full. The group is urging the board to consider capping campuses at 95% of capacity. There's no particular magic in this number, it just seemed a reasonable level. The reason for the cap is twofold. It could help to more evenly distribute students between schools that are at capacity and those that are significantly below capacity. It would experienced, many group members feel that the new housing developments we were asked to consider will not produce the number of students projected and or they will actually be occupied later than is currently being reported. The group therefore feels confident that implementing this recommendation will leave more than enough capacity on all campuses for the next decade and possibly beyond. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Hack. Mr. Parker.
So I'll just put up a little summary of the predicted enrollments. The first graph is, you'll recognize the format. This is Bishop's Peak, Hawthorne, Los Ranchos, Sinsheimer, and C.L. Smith. Those are the projected enrollments if we do nothing versus the capacity. And the capacity is shown in a range depending upon how many special use rooms are used. And as you can see, it doesn't balance well at all. And if the board adopts the committee's recommendations, then this is how we would expect enrollment to change at those same schools. And I guess the analogy would be that if we're trying to fill five glasses, we'd like to fill them all equally at the same level and not overfill any of them. Now, you'll notice that Hawthorne is shown slightly over. Hawthorne is in the upper right, by the way. And it's shown slightly over its capacity. And the reason for that is that there is a higher than average exodus out of the Hawthorne attendance area where parents opt to open enroll to other schools. And the methodology used to make these predictions do not adequately reflect that. So the committee felt quite comfortable in overfilling Hawthorne on paper. They felt very comfortable that it would balance down and be underfilled. With that, I guess I'd be happy to answer any questions. And we have several principals from the committee who would be available to answer questions as well.
Mr. Buckman?
Yeah. Brad, there's a statement in the board packet on page 5.2 in the second paragraph. If our consultant is accurate, is correct, and we exceed our total capacity, we will have ample time to plan for new facilities?
Development. Okay. New facilities could also take the form of additional classrooms on existing campuses, whether they would be permanent classrooms or relocatable classrooms.
Okay.
So this board or a future board, if we're faced with that opportunity, will get to make those decisions.
I wondered whether this was going along with the city's new height limits.
No, I don't think it would. I don't think it would tip the height limits.
Okay.
Mr. Peter?
Well, first I'd like to acknowledge the work of the committee. I think you guys did a fantastic job and came up with a great common sense approach to this. I went to the public meeting last week and again tonight, and I think you did a fantastic job. And to you and your staff as well, Brad. I had a question just about on page 5.4 of the information that was provided, the various classes of bikeways.
Yes.
Do you know what that means, class 1, 2, 3, and 4? I'm unfamiliar with the terms.
Yeah, the I'm not sure I can quote the specifics exactly, but I believe class 1 is wholly and completely separated from the roadway by either a planting strip or some other type of median material. A class 2 has certain dimensions, I believe, connected with the roadway, and a class 3 is a lesser size. Now, I could be completely backwards, and it could be the 3 that's separated, but that's the concept.
Okay. The reason I was asking was it would be great at some point in the future if the kids that are in, I think it's the Margarita development south of Tank Farm there that mm-hmm. that'll be attending C.L. Smith eventually, if they had a pathway to school. And I think we should do everything that we can to encourage, assuming that the Delidio project gets developed, to encourage development of some sort of pathway under or over that's dedicated to biking and pedestrian access across that freeway and through the project and over to the school.
And I'll get the definitions of the different classes of bikeways to the superintendent, and he could perhaps.
The ones that are shown on the map, it looks like you have to go way down to Los Osos Valley Road right now, a bikeway of some sort down there, but maybe there's a way to shoot something right through the middle if they're going to be building, you know, an overpass there as well.
Mrs. Dickinson and then Mr. Spadafore.
I also thought the committee was a stellar committee. All these rock star people in there, Mary Lou Gooden and Kurt Collins and all these wonderful people. And we enjoyed hearing from the parent. I had two questions. One was, it's in the middle of page 5.2. The committee wanted to highlight concepts for the superintendent's thinking in future decisions, and one of them was
Are located at a campus without respect to the geographic location of the students in the class, and the class could easily be located on another campus. And the committee was recognized that C.L. Smith, for example, has a large number of classes dedicated for special needs students, and if it were to fill up, that we had a way to try and to perhaps relieve it by relocating some of those classes to campuses that had room, or it could apply to another campus in the future. And they just recognized it as a concept and wanted to share it and make sure the superintendent.
Do you have an example of what type of class that would be?
Please go ahead.
I was talking about a special day class that might serve students from multiple schools residing at one school, and due to capacity and space issues, it might move to another.
Okay. So some special day class kids go to a school that's not in their neighborhood.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And then on page 5.3, it's talking about, we have questions and answers. And question number 3, what will the bus ride time be? I just didn't understand the Four Creeks South Broad to Hawthorne within walk distance, but then it says 60 minutes for a bus ride.
We wouldn't, whenever we have students within the walking radius for a school, we wouldn't necessarily set up a new route for them, but there are ways they can get to school, and they might have to get on a little earlier transfer at Laguna like a transfer student and then make it there. So consistently across the board, we don't set up special elementary runs within the walking radius, unless it happens to work into an existing elementary room.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much. And thanks to the committee.
Brad, Dave and I spoke about the bike lanes also at the last meeting over at Hawthorne, and I think you received the email from Amy Cardell.
Yes.
So I was thinking we may want to consider as a board and to give you more work, which I'm sure you're anxious to hear about. But from what I understand, the city has a bicycle transportation plan that they're creating.
Yes.
And that's going to be developing over the rest of this year, early part of next year. And actually, the information I got indicated that the draft bike plan would be discussed at the city council towards the end of the year. And I think it may behoove the district to become a partner in the development of that bike plan.
Absolutely.
And then keep the board apprised of what's taking place so board members and staff could see what other routes or what other upgrades may be better for the students. Then we could plan on attending and being a participant in the city's plan for the bike paths, if that's something.
Is that something the board has an interest in? Mr. Buckman, and then...
I'm just wondering if Dave would be willing to represent us. I don't know. Are we thinking about a board member, John, or a staff member?
No, no. I'm thinking about, first of all, Brad, if the board wants, the administration setting up a means for us to start communicating with the city now while we look at what needs we feel our students are in a situation to have, so that when this plan is formulated, it will include all of the school district's needs relative to the safety of the students, and then we'll be kept appraised of what's taking place, and we can go to the board meet, to the council meeting. All of us can go, one of us can go, several of us can go, and speak for the district along with the administration as to the importance of the inclusion of certain bike paths and safety corridors to the schools.
And if I may, I would absolutely support that. And I know we're talking specifically about C.L. Smith and access to C.L. Smith School right now, but I would remind the board that every single middle school student has to go to Laguna, which is also across the freeway, and those would definitely overlap. And so I think mm-hmm. we need to not only look at how we can get kids safely across the freeway, but I think safely navigate through San Luis Obispo too. A question I had, and I know it's maybe a little premature, but we did have some timelines or some time values for possible busing and 20 to 45 minutes. I would like us to be able to look at reducing those times on the buses. I know that every so often we do have parents come before us and talk to us about their concerns of long bus rides for students, and 45 minutes strikes me as a long time for a young child to be on the bus, and so I'd like us to be able to look at that too when we're looking at this. Other board members' comments?
That was my concern too.
Okay. All right. So, what is it that you need from us,
well,
Mr.
Carter? We'll bring this back on the 20th for action, and you can defer action till that time unless you feel that it's appropriate to take action tonight.
I think we can bring it back on the 20th, and then I guess
meeting, you asked that we bring back a list of proposed participants for the Academic Freedom Study Session. So you have before you a list of participants. Certainly the study session is open to everyone in the school district who has an interest. We thought it might be good, however, to highlight some key groups of people in the school district that might be invited to attend the session. We actually, last night, the superintendent spoke to our curriculum council members who are intricately involved in curriculum development, professional development, and are representatives of their schools. We have all schools represented. And so having our school site council members invited is one group we are suggesting to participate. As well, our elementary schools have lead teachers who serve in place of the principal when the principal is at a meeting, and we thought that those lead teachers could share a perspective in terms of their role in the classroom, and so we've identified elementary lead teachers. Certainly secondary department heads to be involved, school administrators, school site council members who are involved in the school improvement planning process and managing the school goals might be another group. Certainly, as I said, this study session is open to all interested staff members, so we look for you to advise us as far as the participants that you would like to have involved, if we've missed anyone.
Mrs. Roger.
Thank you. I would just like to confirm that I had requested that a teacher from Pacific Beach High School be included as well.
Thank you.
And I hope that Dr. Matakovich, you and Mr. Damien over there, Barnett, will feel free to participate. I'm sure that you will.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd also expressed interest in a couple people, at least one person from Cal Poly being invited. Dr. Elizabeth Truesdell is, as far as I know, the newest professor in the education department for teachers, teaching people how to be teachers. And she did a recent doctoral thesis that's pertinent to this topic. So I would be interested in what she has to say about it. I now have their PhDs or EdDs and are looking to train the next generations of teachers and what's up with their thinking about this topic. There's three teachers from our district who've come to speak on this at more than one board meeting, and I'd like them to feel welcome. Mr. Ivan Simon, Mr. Bruce Bedrigian, and Mr. Bruce Tadone showed considerable interest in this topic, and I think it only appropriate to honor that by letting them come and sit at the table. And then I got an email from Ms. Susan Goya, and she's interested in participating too. I think she's the one that ran for school board. Mm-hmm. And she had some, I checked out her smart voter information, and she had some interesting things to say about this too. And that would be a community voice. I think it's kind of interesting to have not just the players in the district, but some voices of people who really aren't players, just to add a different dimension to it all. And I think I'm looking forward to a very productive and interesting and stimulating study session. I'm sure it will be.
I was going to mention the teachers as well, Bruce and Ivan Simon, who've spoken. We've had a number of us up here have had communication with them, either at the board meetings or individually or through email correspondence, and I think they're all pretty passionate about the subject, and I think they should be included in the dialogue. I think one thing that's really important is to make sure that we get some parents involved in this discussion if we can, and perhaps that can be done through some of the site council members as well. But I know I, as a parent, am pretty passionate about what my kids are studying in classes and how they're being taught, and I think it would be good to make sure that their opinions are reflected here as well. I could maybe step down and act as a parent for the discussion. I might disagree with myself as a board member, though, so I'm not sure I want to do that. So, but exactly. So parents, I think, would be high on my list, or at least encourage their participation in public comment. I think this is one we'd really want to do.
I just wanted to ask Dr. Valentine, Dr. Matakovich, are counselors at the secondary level included in those five subgroups?
They could be members of the school site council, but certainly we could encourage their participation.
You know, personally, I think counselors would be helpful in terms of what they're hearing from students regarding any issues relative to classroom presentation and curriculum also. Thank you.
Thanks. This is shaping up to be an exciting
call for this, because certainly lots of folks will have lots of things to say. And I would like to know, again, and I'm not sure if we're there yet, we've talked about what the possible outcomes of this could be. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about some time limits on the amount of discussion that we're thinking here? I know you have your hand raised, Ed. The other thing is, I'd like to invite, contradicting myself, any students that would like the opportunity to discuss this issue as well, because it directly relates certainly to the student learning and the things that I think our students are expected to learn. Mm-hmm. I would want to make sure, I am a little concerned about inviting specific teachers without opening it up to other teachers, because I think there may be people that have varying opinions, and we've heard pretty strongly from Bruce, who's here now, and Ivan, and Mr. Tadone as well, and they represent one viewpoint, and I would like to see if there are other teachers that have another viewpoint that would be represented as well. And so I'd like to see some kind of balance in that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'd still like to make sure that that's honored. Sure. You know, could I go to Dr. Valentine first and then take it from there?
Yeah, I think the concerns over the numbers and the times and the protocols are well-founded. The four topics the board identified are curriculum development, professional development, guidelines for teachers in the classroom, and teacher evaluation. If those capture what the board wants to approach in the study session, I think if we're looking at an hour and a half, those should be the top. If that captures what you want, those would probably be the topics that we would allocate time to, is voices in the development of curriculum, voices in the professional development process, voices in the guidelines for teachers in the classroom and teacher evaluation, or what the basic elements of those things are as well. And then perhaps allocate a 20-minute segment. We're talking about 80 minutes in that, and maybe there's an opening that takes a few minutes as well. But allocate about 20 minutes to each of those topics, and then perhaps solicit input from the various representative groups on that topic, but keep time on it and say, if we're going to get to the other topics, then let's move to professional development for a moment.
But I would almost be interested in starting a meeting rather than with presentations, with everyone who wants to be in the circle, it might be pretty big, you know, and just go around and have 60 seconds to just say, you know, what is your interest in being here, and just to highlight that as you hold the feather and then pass it around before the presentations, because some of those questions, maybe you have a question or a concern that you could briefly state, could be addressed then in the presentations, because you'd know what everyone's thinking to start with. Mm-hmm. And then you could kind of, whoever's presenting could address some of those things. I think it would be more efficient. And then maybe end also with that, where you just have this moment too to respond. And that way we would get the benefit of, I see you scowling, Chris. The benefit is everyone gets to say something, instead of what often happens in our study sessions is someone brings up something and they want to respond and they want to respond. So we spend time on that, and some other people never did really get to bring up what they wanted to say. I think it's so shared and equal to start and end, and then you could have your focused presentations. And it wouldn't tie everything up with a bow, but everyone would have a voice.
And if I could just clarify, I wasn't talking about focused presentations. I just meant dedicate 20 minutes of time to curriculum development and then let the ideas flow. I think at the beginning of the meeting, we would frame the entire discussion for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And then after that, now we're talking about curriculum development. Now we're talking about...
Okay, that sounds good.
John?
Yeah, the only thing, Adrian had asked about the date this would be scheduled, and yeah. I didn't want to forget that, because I think one of the people you thought would be good to have her there isn't going to be able to be.
Perhaps. She's having a baby. Mm-hmm. Maybe around the 17th.
Well, I was just wondering, is this study session better in the first meeting in April instead of March to accommodate that? And time-wise to get everybody organized? Well, that's what I'm saying, in time, because we have to decide on a time.
We were looking for sooner rather than later, because we're getting into the strategic planning budget discussions and those kinds of things. So we were sort of looking for the first meeting in March, but we will respond to the board's needs.
And I would look to the administration, because of...
And have it in town... No.
6th is Del Mar.
Is that okay?
Yeah. You all have the board calendars now in the plastic
right.
sleeves
so
in the back of your binders.
Scheduled for Del Mar, which it seems far out. I mean, it's the farthest, most northern space for everyone. We could switch it to the two March ones.
No. I'll tell you what. As somebody that sees a lot of meetings in San Luis and wants to make sure that people on the coast have an opportunity to participate in meetings, I would offer a compromise, and the compromise I would offer is Laguna.
It's easy for folks from the coast to get to Laguna, and it's not nearly as far in town as the district office, and it's not nearly as far out as Del Mar is. So would Laguna be acceptable?
You just said we're having our meetings at 3.
Would that work?
Without checking with Laguna, the concept's fine.
Could you talk to the folks at Laguna and see if that would be acceptable to them? Okay, great. Is there any other discussion on item number 6?
Just a comment. I was just going to encourage everybody who's going to participate in this session to bring their sleeping bags, because I think this has the potential to be one of our longest meetings. I'll bring in some pizza, but bring your own sleeping bags and pillows.
When I was thinking about this study session, I had not perceived it as one that lent itself really to formal presentations, mm-hmm. but rather four identified areas of interest, mm-hmm. and then just kind of a dialogue. I mean, for people to express their feelings to the board to ask questions, what have you, rather than the type of study session where we have a PowerPoint presentation and all of that. So that was just how I had seen it playing out in my own mind. And then I do think, you know, beyond a certain time, speaking for myself, I start to lose my ability to focus. So I think that although I don't want to cut anybody off from the opportunity to speak in the study session, I think we do have to have it be of a finite mm-hmm. time frame. Otherwise, I drop out, and I think other...
Which may facilitate the discussion and help people. There's a question from the audience.
Mr. Madrigan?
Bruce Madrigan, President of the Teachers Association. I just wanted to echo that I like the idea of having Cal Poly professors come, one or two college professors come, because over the years they've worked closely with our teachers, and they have shared their students come into our classroom to observe but also to participate. I know I use them in my reading classes extensively for one-on-one tutoring. So we've built a symbiotic bridge with them. I'd like to see them here. I'm sure they'd have some beneficial information and maybe not such a myopic vision that we might have here, as we're so close to the subject ourselves. They're a little bit back. They might have different perspective. Also, I like the idea about students. I think that students, if we invite students, not just present students, but past students, they've gone off to college and now they come back. Let's hear what their perspective and see what they say about the last few years. So I think that would be interesting. And then finally, I'd ask the board that, and Dr. Matakovich was clear on this, but yeah, that any teacher should be able to come and speak as far as, I know, yes, there'll be administration and there'll be teachers that have been selected by administrations to serve on different councils and site curriculums and different things like that. But I think the teachers who might provide some essential insight are the teachers who are rank and file and in the trenches and can give really specific and concrete details as to some of the problems they're encountering with this topic. So that's what I was thinking. So, thank you.
And again, I'm sorry, Dr. Valentine.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask, there are two things that I'd like to just propose to the board. The first is, again, that if we start at 6 o'clock, that we decide on an end time and that we try to stick to it. Because I agree with you. If we're starting at 6 o'clock and we go to 9 o'clock, that's a long time for a meeting. And I think there's a lot to be said, but I think we need to learn some of these things. What do we do about those other two? Yeah, what do we do about the follow-up, and what do we do about the summary? So I'd like us to be able to walk away with something that we can put our sink our teeth into. I'm going to go to Dr. Valentine first.
My entire life has passed before my eyes through the course of this discussion. We have the suggestion that we would like to have present students, past students, PTA, parents, school site council members, curriculum council, counselors, department heads, people who have spoken to the board, people who haven't spoken to the board, and and at the same time, I'm trying to picture in my mind a satisfactory outcome to the gathering that has come. Staff is walking around with the assumption that there were four specific things that the board wanted input on as to what is the state in the district of curriculum development, professional development, guidelines, and evaluations for teachers. Those are topics that can be talked about. If the topic is anything anybody wants to share about academic freedom from any perspective that we can have, it's going to be difficult to guarantee that the people we invite, how they will get airtime, how much airtime they will get, and what their airtime is expected to be. So I share with the board, we're going to be struggling, we're going to be trying to put some kind of boundaries around the discussion so that it can actually go somewhere as opposed to being 50, 60 random different ideas over a period of 2 hours. Without any sense of whether a person's personal opinion really represents anything other than that, or whether it's based on anything, and so on and so forth. So I think we're still struggling. We will bring together a study session on academic freedom, and we will do the very best we can.
I guess one of the things that I was thinking when you were talking, the board agreed that we would have a study session. We agreed on four things that we would try to focus on that would help us get to our ends. Is that still what the board is feeling? Because I think we need to make a decision or do something else, but it's not fair to ask the staff to go one way or the other. So, Mark, do you have a feeling on that? Okay, Marilyn? John?
Well, that's been the process for several months, was to develop a study session on these issues. So I think that's where we're at.
Adrian?
I think that definitely is it. But if you're studying something, you need to study what's really happening. And some of these people that are mentioned are going to give you information pertinent to the four questions in the study session.
Okay. So, Dave?
I'm good with the protocol.
Okay, so Dr. Valentine, I think you have your marching orders.
Jogging.
Yeah, so let's go forward and go for it. I'm sorry, Mrs. Dickinson, I apologize.
I just had that quick question. You were talking about starting at 6. Does this mean that we're starting our meeting at 6 and we're going to have minutes and maybe some other things? And so when would the actual study session start?
Yeah, I think what we would be talking about would be the housekeeping, and we would still need to do consent agenda items. So perhaps we could do those at 6 to, say, 6:30 hour and begin the study session at 6:30, perhaps? Would that?
Well, I think we can take the board's suggestion of no closed session and start at 6. We will keep the agenda as minimalist as we possibly can. If we can do it in 10 minutes, then we'll do it in 10 minutes, and the rest of the time would be study session. I think it's probably, if it is only consent agenda, if the board feels a need to pull an item, for instance, and discuss it off the consent agenda, the board can decide whether you want to do that at the front end of the meeting or whether you want to change the order of business and put it at the back end. I think the starting default position will be at the beginning, though.
Dr. Matakovich?
Yes, please. I'd just like to
notice everyone. If you have an interest in participating in this session, if you'd contact me within a week so that we can plan accordingly. So contact me at the district office.
The other thing then is, if Laguna is not available, could we look at C.L. Smith? Okay, thank you.
Your suggestion to limit the length of time. So say that session is planned to be from 6:30 to 9, which is a 2.5 hour discussion.
Yes.
And, you know,
yeah.
we run over.
Okay. Mr. Madrigan, and then we'll close off and move on to item number 7.
Well, first of all, I don't think we're going to be overwhelmed. I don't think we're going to have such a horde of people in here that are going to want to talk about academic freedom. So I just want to allay your fears on that. I don't think there's going to be any barnstorming or anything.
I'm not looking those as fears, more as opportunities, I think.
But you know, the people that do come, they'll probably want to speak. So if you want to limit it to 30 seconds or a minute, I'd find that reasonable. But I don't think it's fair to say that they have to contact Dr. Matakovich within a week if they want to speak.
And that wasn't my understanding at all. I don't think.
I think I just didn't want to do that. I mean, I can get some people, but in a week I couldn't get everybody that wished to participate or speak. So, okay, I just wanted to clarify.
I would try to allay the fears of the public that the board, I think, has been really willing to listen to all viewpoints.
Terrific.
And I think my concern was just a time concern and a time constraint. But I think the board would welcome anybody that wants to come and address it on this topic. I think, you know, this is something that's we've been certainly talking about for, say, 3 or 4 months now, and the culmination of it should be this. And so I'm looking forward to that.
I was just going to add, I mean, it's a public meeting still.
Right.
And the public's invited. And anyone who feels that they want to contribute something can certainly come and discuss this issue or anything else in point of fact, because this is still a public meeting.
Right. And those four topics, I think, like Dr. Valentine said, those four topics, they're broad enough. That's what we need to talk about. And I think the people who participate, that should be made clear. That's what we're going to be talking about. And if it's not related to those, then they don't need to be sharing them here. So I'm comfortable with that.
And just before I go to Dr. Valentine, just one thing I would remind the public that we do have public comment period at the board meetings. Right. People are welcome to come and address the board on topics that
make it clear that to the sites that anybody who wishes to participate in this, when we invite somebody in particular to represent curriculum council or to represent school site councils or something like that, they're going to wonder what is the role that they play in this, whether they would be given an opportunity to speak because we specifically invited them or not. I'd look forward to having conversations maybe with the board president and clerk just to kind of go over those kinds of protocols for invitees so that we don't disappoint or not meet the expectations of people who are invited, thinking that they will have some time to share.
I'd just like to thank the board for taking on this issue and being open and intrepid enough to go ahead and allow it to happen. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Madrigan. Shall we move on to item number 7? Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Matakovich, did you have more to add to this? Okay. Item numbers, you're getting ready for item number 7. Item number 7, proposed revisions to board policy 6146.1, instruction high school graduation requirements, and this is our second reading. Dr. Matakovich.
At our last meeting, the board discussed whether to add a career technical ed requirement to our high school graduation requirements. The direction to staff was to bring back another option that took into consideration adding a 10-credit career education requirement and not adding a career education requirement. So we did a little more research, and we've compiled some additional information for you that is in the agenda item. As you note here, we have high percentages of our students taking career technical ed courses at our two high schools. Also, we have a number of career technical education courses that meet the current graduation requirements, as you'll see, in science, history, social science, visual performing arts, health, and computer applications. We have corresponding career technical education courses which meet or satisfy those graduation requirements. Another area we looked into was our academic guidance program delivered by our counseling staff that's available to all of our students. Our counselors help them establish immediate long-range educational plans that address their needs, their abilities, and career interests. And this is something that takes place annually with all of our students. Also noted is that our career technical education requirements, and that will be something that in the event that we find courses that do qualify, we'll be bringing them forward to you for your approval and then to pass on to the UCCSU system. Also presented was an option of a waiver that could be used in the event that the career technical ed requirement might interfere with the student's academic goals. The site principals are a little concerned about how this option would be applied, but we're willing to work that through if that's a choice that you so make. So given the additional information that we have presented tonight, and given the fact that an emphasis coming from the board in the past and currently is to have flexibility for our students in selecting courses, that being able to have the option of selecting a career technical ed course and the opportunity for career technical education staff to look into qualifying their courses for the UCCSU requirement, the staff does not perceive a need at this time to establish a career technical ed requirement. So our recommendation is that you as a board approve the removal of the career technical education option from the foreign language or visual performing arts high school graduation requirement.
Is there anybody from the public that would like to address this issue? Okay, is there board discussion? Mrs. Dickinson.
I think it's important to be able to laugh at ourselves, but I thought it was kind of funny, really. You know, the choice is to, like Dr. Matakovich pointed out, to have a requirement or to not have a requirement. And the board wanted more options. You know, you want to stand, you can stand on the bank or you can jump in, you know. And so Mary very politely pointed out, this is your expanded option. We want to remind you that you can jump in, but you know how to swim, you know. So I thought you did a great job of putting together something to show that, to make it look like we had a lot of options. I just thought that was well done. I'm still in favor of the students having maximum freedom and flexibility. So I am going to go along with the staff recommendation. But I wanted to make one comment on the move toward making some of these classes, UC, CSU, meet the standards, the criteria, skills. So it's just something to keep in mind. And we don't want everything to be so academic, even the career technical classes, even though some of them are already, I know there's a wide spectrum.
I just wanted to know first if Adrian was making fun of us, but maybe she was. I'm also supportive of maintaining the flexibility because of the discussion we had today and at the last meeting. But I wanted to ask a question of Dr. Matakovich. I thought that keeping flexibility would be important here because of the many offerings the high schools have and also because the students are making different decisions about their plan to go to college or to enter the workforce and maybe go to college later. But incoming freshmen, I wanted to know what specifically is provided to incoming freshmen, advising them of how the CTE classes assist them either in going on towards CSU or UC, and what other options CTE classes provide them if they defer college or are not going on to college. So that's the first part. Well, I have more. So that's the first question. How much we do in terms of the freshmen becoming aware that these classes can be useful in many different settings, not only just going on to four-year schools, and that how the counselors approach helping students develop their curricular choices sophomore, junior, senior year, when different issues develop in terms of interest in school, plans to again go on to four-year schools, or plans to immediately go into work, how adept and flexible are our counselors at integrating CTE classes when necessary?
Well, as you know, we have an articulated counseling and guidance program. We've spoken to the 7 through 12 program that we have, and one of our strands has to do with career technical education and providing opportunities for students to explore their interests, their abilities, and to make choices relative to classes. As you know, through the strategic plan, you've authorized funding through the superintendent to focus on career education units that are embedded in our courses through our secondary program, beginning in the through the career education units that we have in place now and will have in place in a more robust fashion in the new year. We work with surveys and interest inventories and assist the students in mapping out their plans. Based on the interest inventories, students, with the help of their parents, establish their goal for the future. Annually they do that, and they adjust their schedule depending on their interests, their abilities, and where they see their strengths. It's through their meetings with their counselors, this 10th grade counseling evening that's happening at San Luis High School is an example of that, where they focus on their goals and align their courses. We have career pathways in our curriculum that where we can show students that given a certain career pathway, what are the courses that they need in order to realize their goal, either to go on in a technical field or to go on to the community college, and then to a four-year college. You know, we have our program with Cuesta College where students can matriculate there in a career technical ed area. So there is, with your support, built-in career objectives throughout our courses, 7-12, as well as we have our counselors who are committed to annually reviewing students' interests, abilities, and needs as they align to the program that we can provide the students.
Thank you. I think that was a wonderful description of what exists, and I think that that's the key, not that we require any particular set of subjects, but that we identify the individual students' needs as they move through secondary school. So thank you for that description, and I'm in support of the recommendation.
Mr. Hernai.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I heard some kind of concern as far as, I guess you mentioned Arroyo Grande High School is gearing things more towards academic, kind of straying away from this, and maybe that was the reason for this inquiry or whatever. But I would say that, as from a student's point of view at least, in elementary school and even in middle school a little bit, it seems like you pretty much are required to take classes. You don't really have so many choices. And when you get to high school, it's all your choices as far as electives and classes. And so it kind of, I guess these numbers kind of support what I'm saying as far as the students who are planning on just entering the workforce, they make that choice. And so to make it a requirement to have a technical education requirement doesn't seem necessary as a student to me.
Thanks, Joe.
In the time between this meeting and the last meeting, and this is great research, thank you, and I spent some time emailing and getting email. In some of the work I do, I have to research ed code, and unfortunately, Adrian, one of the things that's happening, there was a piece of legislation last year that the governor did sign, and the districts are no longer even have an option. They must be looking at their current curriculum and this career technology education curriculum, and looking at it in terms of its applicability to UCCSU. And so I think what's going to happen is we're actually going to see a tremendous growth in the number of classes that do qualify. And so I am also in favor of this now.
And I supported the recommendation or the what the proposal was this time, last time. I think one of the things that I would like to see, and again, what was a reminder to me was, for those of you in the audience, what we were given was some board backup material, and on one side was career and technical education courses that meet our graduation requirements for San Luis Coastal Unified School District. On the opposite page were career and technical courses that we offer that meet the UCCSU requirements. And there are probably about 8 or 9 courses that are listed on the one page that aren't listed on the other page, and then there are some that are that don't cross over on the one side to the other. I guess what I'd like to see, and I think what Mr. Buckman's talking about and what Dr. Matakovich is talking about, is I'd like to see courses that we currently offer that meet our graduation requirements, meet the career and meet the UCCSU requirements, so that we can offer our students the ability, if they want to take an auto shop class, I'd like to have that, or an automotive technology class, I'd like to have that course be able to satisfy some kind of requirement that UCCSU has. So I think that would open
to see kids have some exposure to career technical education. But between that meeting and this meeting, I've spoken to both high school principals. I've talked at length with the administration. I've received more information in my board book. And I do feel satisfied that we have a high percentage of kids that are electing on their own to take CTE classes, that we have counselors who are referring kids that seem to be sort of lost about which direction they want to go, referring them to at least try a class and see if it fits, see if, you know, it generates any excitement or enthusiasm for them. Given that kids are going on their own into these classes and that our counselors are giving good direction to our students about the options, I'm prepared to vote to eliminate the requirement.
Would somebody like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we adopt the administration's recommendation as set forth at the bottom of page 7.3.
It's been moved by Mr. Spadafore and seconded by Mrs. Dickinson to approve the recommendation that we remove the career and technical education option from the foreign language or visual and performing arts high school graduation requirement. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 6-0. Thank you very much. And Joe, I just want to thank you for your comments too. One thing that we don't often get are student comments, and I think especially when we're talking about things that directly affect the students, your comments are really important and really weigh heavily on our decision. So thank you very much. And he can go home too if he wants to, but I'm glad he stayed. Oh, that's great, Joe. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on to the action consent agenda. Item number 8, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. Item number 9, approval of secondary school schedules for the 2007-2008 school year. 10, approval to
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 15.
I'll second.
It's been moved by Mrs. Roger and seconded by Mr. Spadafore. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Carries 6-0. Item number 14.
14 is approval of purchase orders, and I just wanted to bring it up because as I was going through my board book, looking at things, I happened to notice this
expenditure, and and in this case, it was Baywood School, and so I called and asked the principal, why are we paying so-and-so the sum of money? I just wondered. And as it turns out, the money's come from a grant that Tina Lucas at Baywood School sought and received, a grant that several schools had had previously a couple years ago when Baywood went after it again. And it's in servicing K through kindergarten, first and second grade teachers on early intervention with their students, which ties directly to the strategic plan and our goal of kids that are at risk. And I bring it up. I just wanted to mention it because I think it's a wonderful example of the way that we do continue in our schools to go after grant funding, to utilize that grant funding appropriately in ways that really help teachers work with our students and that meet the objectives or move us toward meeting the objectives of the strategic plan. So I would commend Tina Lucas at Baywood School and the site management there. And I know that things like this are happening all over the district. This is just one that I became aware of, and I wanted my fellow board members to know that, you know, that our people are out there. They're looking for money. They're getting money, and they're using it wisely and appropriately, and I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll move to approve item 14.
It's been moved by Mrs. Roger and seconded by Mr. Buckman. Sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Carries 6-0. Okay. Let's move on then to item number 17, advanced agenda. Mr. Spadafore.
Thank you. At our last meeting, the San Luis Symphony had sent a letter asking to...
time, and then we're going to turn around and give one music program a quarter, a seventh, I don't know, an eighth. It's just interesting. We're taking a lot of time for one music program, and it's a sizable chunk of the amount of time we're going to spend on academic freedom. Just an iron.
10 minutes. Well, all I want to point out, and I appreciate Mark's question about that, but I think our guidelines allow two board members to agree on an agenda item.
All right, and your comments are appreciated. Yeah, please.
But, agreeing on agenda item isn't necessarily the same thing as the number of minutes spent on it either. I mean, that point is well taken, actually. But doesn't it just...
You know...
I don't think we need to worry. Is this next meeting, right? It's not the same as March 6th.
And I'm going to say that I appreciate your concerns, Mr. Buckman, but I have some concern about the 15 minutes. However, I would support that because it is something that is a curricular activity in our schools. I believe all of our elementary schools are doing it, and there was some controversy over it about a month and a half ago, and so I'd like to know more about it. So that's why I would support that. I would like to add something to the advanced agenda for the next meeting. I believe that the San Luis Coastal Teachers Association is celebrating their 80th anniversary on Friday. And I would, although it's a little bit late, I would like to ask that the board bring forward a resolution acknowledging the 80th anniversary of the Teachers Association for the next meeting, if I could get some support for that. Okay, great. If you could do that, I'd like to see that. Is there anybody else who has Mr. Peter?
Just wanted at the last meeting, Mrs. Chapman from the Science Department of Morro Bay High School provided some information about some issues she was having with computers in her classroom. And we got a great summary sent to us in the Friday packet by Amelia about the number of PCs in the schools and, you know, sort of a quick summary of what the ed tech plan is. But when was the last time that we as a board, since I've been on the board, we haven't had a discussion about the ed tech plan, and it seems to me that that might be an interesting thing to have a presentation on here at a meeting from Amelia or somebody in the staff about sort of what our technology computer plan is for the district.
Stuff too, so maybe we can expand that. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on then to item number 18, reports by board members and district administrators. Are there any district administrators that have anything? Seeing everybody shaking their head. Board members. Ms. Dickinson.
I just want to say I had a fantastic time in Washington, D.C. with Robert, and our son Roland and his wife Catherine drove up too. And I was one of a half a million people, I'm quite sure, marching in to downsize that Werner record, get rid of it altogether, and defund the war. And we met in with this relates to education too. $2 billion a week spent on war and weapons in our country. And we who care about education and kids have to ask questions about that, because that appears to be another W, which is waste in many ways. And also, and we met with our with Lois Capps' person and Barbara Boxer's person. We had quite a few people from California back there in those offices talking to them individually about this. And you know, we've taken an oath of office as elected officials to protect and defend the Constitution. And I had to bring that up because I know this is getting into a political issue of impeachment, but impeachment is being off the table. And it seems like, in a way, I mean, I know there's a lot of different opinions about this, but it's not really, when you take an oath of office, it's, you don't start considering what's politically correct, what's convenient, what might not be popular, what might be misconstrued. You know, you have to protect and defend the Constitution. It's just something to think about, because I think we're in a crisis in that area.
Mr. Buckman?
I had 4 pages, but I think I'll just...
Great big.
I did represent the board at the ROP meeting this last month. I volunteered last Saturday with very sore feet at the Pac-7 tournament at San Luis High School. There was a great deal of community support. It was great. And I did have the opportunity on the 28th, 29th, and 30th to attend Ledge Action Days up in Sacramento with the California State PTA, where we did get to speak with Assemblyman Sam Blakesley, Jack O'Connell, and Joseph Midian.
And board members present. So hopefully that small turnout meant that people were not hugely concerned after finding out what we were thinking about doing. This week I also went to Laguna Middle School, had a nice visit there, had an excellent visit at Pacific Beach High School. And I wanted to mention that if any of us have the time, I believe, and I hope I'm remembering this correctly, Thursday, two nights from tonight at 6 o'clock at the courthouse will be, it's not the mock trial, but it's a rehearsal for mock trial. So if anybody happens to be in San Luis around the courthouse at that time, I'm going to try and get down and take a look. And then this is board reports, and so I am reporting that I'm extremely cold, and I'm wondering, is it possible to get some heat in these rooms? Thank you very much. I will take anyone's jacket. I noticed that the people who aren't cold are wearing big, thick jackets. Thank you.
And I would just like to say I was fortunate enough to be able to go up to CSBA program committee for the convention this year in November, December. And it looks like one of the things we're going to be focusing on is community and school connections, community being loosely defined as cities, counties, business, religious organizations, just how can we make those connections? And so I think we're going to be talking about some of those things. Other things that we may be focusing on are things that we're doing in our district that might be good to share with others, and that's looking at strategic planning. How do you take a demographic study, and how do you look at the demographic study, and then how do you take the demographic study and translate it into use for things like the redistricting that we're talking about and our strategic plan. So those are some of the things that we might be talking about, as well as some of the old standbys like special education. And I, too, would just like to invite people to be sure to pay attention to what the federal budget looks like, because perhaps, Dr. Valentine, you could share this with the board. I know that Dr. Hilton from the SELPA office sent out a little blurb today on the sounds like a proposed reduction in special education funding from the federal level. And so that might be something the board members would have an interest in. And